In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's a privilege for me to be here at the Oratory of St. Mary's, and my thanks to Canon Huberfeld and Mateus for the invitation to be with you again. It is always a good thing, indeed, to enrich the life of the faithful Catholic, not only by the deepening of the doctrinal beliefs, but enriching the heart in the practice of a devotional life. And the novena, in preparation for the great solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, is intended to move our hearts as well as to enlighten our minds. And especially as reflect upon the Immaculate Conception right here in the midst of the Advent season, it is good for us to consider the role of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I've been asked to preach on part of the litany of Our Lady of Loretto, Mary, the health of the sick, the refuge of sinners, and the comfort of the afflicted. And I must begin by first relating a little anecdote of some years ago. I may have shared it with you at some previous time when I was here. It is an event that took place in January of 1995. I was privileged at the time. I was just a young priest of, I guess, about 8 years. I was a Navy chaplain, and I was assigned in Norfolk, Virginia, when on Saturday, December 10th of 94, we got the word that we had a new bishop for the Diocese of La Crosse, Monsignor Raymond Burke. And I was happy. And I was able to fly to Rome in January to attend his ordination. He was consecrated the bishop on the Feast of the Epiphany, Friday, January 6th of 1995, by Pope John Paul II. Some of you may be aware as well that Cardinal Burke was ordained a priest by Pope Paul VI, consecrated the bishop by Pope John Paul II. It's a rather unique privilege. On the following day, then Saturday, January 7th, very early in the morning, the group from La Crosse, about 100 of us, the faithful and some priests, accompanied our newly ordained bishop down to the under area of the Basilica of St. Peter's, to the tomb of St. Peter, where our new bishop celebrated Mass, and we priests can celebrate with him. And afterwards, went over to the Vatican for a private audience with Pope John Paul II. And we're in a large room, and at the end, people were lined up along the wall. The first person in line was Marie Burke. That was Cardinal Burke's mother. And then all the faithful lined up all the way around the way. And I had traveled to Rome with my mother, as a good son should. If a priest's son is going to Rome, he takes his mother with him. And I took my mother with me. And she traveled with another lady friend of hers. So when Pope John Paul came down the line greeting people, first Mrs. Burke, and she was quite overwhelmed, a beautiful little lady. And then coming down the line, shaking hands with people and talking briefly, he came to my mother and spoke with her briefly. And then he turned to me and, well, this is, 28 years ago, so he looked at me and he said, "Seminarian?" I was younger and had hair. And I was dumbstruck and didn't know what to say. Bishop Burke said, "I know, Holy Father, he's one of our priests, one of our young priests." "Ah, good, good, good." And he looked back And he said, "And your mother." Now, those are very sweet words, which I call to mind. "And your mother." Now, I'm mindful, of course, and you should be too, that Pope John Paul II lost his own mother when he was 8. And whether or not that had an influence in this regard, in regards to his devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, is not entirely clear, although it seemed to accentuate it, if anything. And I recall not many years after when he became Pope, and I was at a conference, and a priest was speaking about, I think it was Father William Smith, a Jesuit priest of happy memory some years ago, and he was talking about the devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and he said the movement in the church back in the 50s and 60s was, you know, try to de-emphasize some of that, and so we need to get a pope that's not Italian, because those Italians are just too crazy about their mothers. We need to get somebody else, and so they got a Polish pope. "Well, welcome to Our Lady of Częstochowa," he said. There's no dropping of the devotion. How could there be a dropping of love of a mother? Well, this is a natural thing, of course. It's a natural thing that a child would have an attachment to his mother. Or we might say in the inverse way, a mother having a profound attachment in her relationship to her children. Now, I say this as a man, so I cannot speak of it in a personal sense. But those women of you who are mothers can perhaps speak to this more personally and accurately and truly, that there is, as soon as you become aware of the child within your womb, there is already the attachment which is forming. And it's worth contemplating when we think of the Blessed Virgin Mary and her privileged role, which was part of God's plan for mankind's salvation, that having chosen her to be the mother of her Son and our Savior, I say it's worthwhile our contemplation to consider that first moment, well, not of Mary's conception, which of course we celebrate tomorrow, but rather of our Lord's conception within the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, that the Word becoming flesh in that instant, eternally existing as God, in the moment of time, taking upon himself our human form from the Blessed Virgin Mary, taking our human nature upon himself, and then beginning at that time a relationship with her. A relationship which is both, should we say, understandable for us in a natural sense, and yet incomprehensible because there is a divine relationship between the Blessed Virgin Mary and her divine Son. Well, this gets caught up, does it not? That the divine gets caught up within the human nature which she assumed. And we think it must be, of course, the same in regards to relationship that our Lord had with his own mother. Now, here we come, I would say, to some of the things which are very pertinent to us in regards to considering the Blessed Virgin Mary, health of the sick, refuge of sinners, comfort of the afflicted. And I would suggest it's worthwhile our contemplation to consider then the child Jesus and the relationship with his mother, and how indeed, since our Lord took upon himself the fullness of our human nature and became like us in all things except for sin, indeed that he suffered and died, then we can as well understand that there were occasions where the Blessed Virgin Mary nursed him, and comforted him. There was no, of course, consideration about sin, so that's one area where it doesn't quite carry, does it? But indeed, that relationship with the Blessed Virgin Mary between her and her divine Son is something both human and yet caught up in the divine, right from the womb. Now, I remember as a child, and I expect that most of you should have some memories too, if not all of you, of your own mothers and when they cared for you when you were hurting or sick or had done something bad or wrong or were was feeling sad because of something that was going wrong in your life and your mother comforted you. I can remember, sticks in my mind yet from 60 years ago, just as a little kid being sick, I suppose a stomach flu or something, and my mother would make us, I'm one of 12 children, so she did this a lot. She would take some bread and toast it and sprinkle on top of it brown sugar and then heat milk and pour the hot milk over it. That was the standard fare when we had a stomach flu. Why does that stick in my mind? Or for you, it must be some other thing in which your mother expressed some tenderness to you in some particular act. Or I can remember her singing, "Beautiful, beautiful blue eyes." I have blue eyes. "Beautiful, beautiful blue eyes. I'll never love brown eyes again." And then she'd sing to my brother, who had brown eyes, "Beautiful, beautiful brown eyes. Beautiful, beautiful brown eyes. I'll never love blue eyes again." If you're old enough, you remember a song by that. There isn't, in sacred art, of course, a manifestation of this tenderness of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which is extended in a variety of ways. You see it in the sacred art with her divine Son. Certainly, this is worth our contemplation too. That which draws one to the Catholic faith is its truth, its goodness, and its beauty. And especially at this time of the year when already some of the Christmas music is playing and we'll be able to experience it more deeply when the feast arrives. One observes that the most beautiful music in the world is sacred music. The most beautiful architecture in the world is sacred architecture. The most beautiful paintings, sculptures, the most beautiful art is sacred art. And the most beautiful sacred art in regards to the Blessed Virgin Mary is that which is able to convey to us the tenderness of the mother to her child. Among the various works of art depicting the Blessed Virgin Mary, one should be familiar with that in which it was actually a Spanish one from the Renaissance period, which is quite beautiful, which shows the Blessed Virgin Mary with a number of people of different maladies and different states of life and such, all underneath her mantle, as it were, finding shelter under her mantle. And then there are depictions outside of that mantle, people who are suffering under different maladies, but they're not being comforted because they're not under her mantle, as if they have refused it. It's one of the reasons why we wear, I would suggest, the scapular, which is a small image, as it were, of that mantle of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's why we consider that whenever we think about the mission of the Lord and the healing of the sick, and the forgiveness of sins and the comfort of the afflicted, all those things which he did in his public time, those 3 years or so which he was among us, all those things which indicated the love of God demonstrated through his divine Son, and all those things as well in which the Blessed Virgin Mary cooperates and, as it were, accompanies her Son. It's why Catholics have, why Christians from the earliest times, indeed, have always had an understanding of that sublime role of the Blessed Virgin Mary, an understanding by nature the connection between a mother and her child, that we are drawn to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Blessed Mary, who is the health of the sick. And we call out to her when we are sick. The refuge of sinners. We seek her intercession to give us a penitent heart. The comfort of the afflicted. And we remember how she comforted her own Son, indeed standing at the foot of the cross. I'm accustomed to saying every morning when I awaken, among a variety of prayers, one which I don't know if I read it someplace or heard it someplace or dreamt it, or I don't know where it is. Maybe you know it too and it's familiar with you. O Blessed Virgin Mary, protect me with your mantle as you protected your own Son. O Blessed Virgin Mary, protect me with your mantle as you protected your own Son. Mary, health of the sick, pray for us. Mary, refuge of sinners, pray for us. Mary, comfort of the afflicted, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.